Please open to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. We'll be reading verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah chapter 25. The Word of God says this: He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. It will be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death on the cross. And we thank you for his resurrection from the dead. I would ask, Father, that you would show us more of Jesus in this passage of Scripture and show us what his resurrection means for our lives today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Obviously, as Christians, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has monumental importance. We literally changed our entire calendar because of it. The Christian faith was started by good Jewish people who quit worshiping on Saturday and decided to worship on Sunday morning because on Sunday morning, Jesus rose again from the dead. It is a very monumental thing that literally changed our lives and changed our calendar. And every time we gather on Sundays, we gather to worship the Lord and praise him for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Culturally, once a year, our culture kind of stops and thinks about Jesus and Easter and all those types of things. But many times, we don't really grasp what the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant and still means today. Isaiah 25 and verse 8 is quoted in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in speaking about the resurrection from the dead. I want to take some time to look at the context here and to understand what God is saying here through the prophet Isaiah and what it means for us today. The context here is the people of God, the Jewish people, have fallen into sin, and they have been living in sexual immorality, greed. They have not taken care of the poor. They've lived in drunkenness and hatred and murder. They've slaughtered their own kids. They've lived lives for themselves, lives of idolatry, and because of this, God is bringing judgment upon them. This judgment comes through things like famine, political uncertainty, economic uncertainty, wars, oppression, disease, wild animals. They're watching their children die. They're watching their homeland be invaded, and they're watching their children be carried off as slaves, and they are burying their loved ones. In the middle of all of this judgment, in the middle of all of this death, in the middle of all of this pain and suffering that they're experiencing, the prophet Isaiah comes, and he gives a prophecy here about what God will do. In verse 8, when it says he, it's speaking of God himself. It says he will swallow up. The idea of swallowing something up, and in just a little bit we're going to eat breakfast, and please don't eat this way, but the idea of swallowing up means you down it as fast as possible, and it's gone. Okay? Your plate is empty, it is clean, the cup is empty, it is gone. God himself is going to completely, totally, in one gulp, eliminate death. There is one thing that is common to every human being on planet Earth. We will all die. Okay? We live in a fear of death. So much of the instructions that your mother gave you were to keep you alive because she didn't want you to die. Okay? So many of the things you hid from your mother were to keep her alive. Okay? That my uncle's writing a book called Things We Didn't Tell Mom So She'd Live Longer. Okay? We live in this fear. Okay? The idea of death is so horrid because in our culture there's a finality. They don't ever come back. It's over. It's gone. We live in the fear of terrorism. It's not a fear of Muslim people. It's a fear of dying. It's a fear of death. There is such an unknown about it. And all humanity lives in such a fear. And this is why when someone dies, there is such heartbreak. There is such grief. If you have anyone who's lost a loved one, they'll tell you that the grief never leaves. It never subsides. the pain never goes away. You walk with it the rest of your life. Here are people who are burying their children, who are burying their parents. And Isaiah says there's going to come a day when God is going to swallow up all of this death. And then he uses this word in victory. Some translations also say forever, because the word here is for a final and complete and total victory. How many of y'all ever heard the phrase that you won the battle and lost the war? Okay, so you had victory for a moment, but you still end up losing. You may beat cancer and then have a recurrence. You had victory, but it didn't last. That's the way we are used to things when it comes to battling death. You were in a car wreck, you were in a coma, and God in His grace gave you a few more years. You beat the coma, you beat the cancer, you beat the disease. You lived, you came back from the war, you lived for a couple more years. But we all know that death is final. But here, the word for victory is a forever victory. Okay, it's over, it's done, and it's never coming back. This is a victory where death is completely, totally defeated, where death is completely, totally done away with, and where death no longer exists. This phrase is quoted by the Apostle Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. When he talks about Jesus' resurrection and the final resurrection of all those who believe in Christ who have died. He says that is the fulfillment of this prophecy, that death has been swallowed up in victory. But Isaiah says a lot more. He says the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. This is quoted again in Revelation, where it talks about God wiping all tears away from our eyes. But notice who does the wiping away here. When we bury a loved one, when we go through pain, when we go through suffering, when we are hurting, when we've had some major surgery, when we get in a car wreck, when we go through pain and suffering, we cry. And we end up wiping the tears off our faces. Here, God is the one who does it. And it's tied with the first phrase in that when God does it, they never come back. When God wipes away the tears, it is final. It is over. There is no more sorrow. There is no more grief. Because there is no more pain. There is no more suffering. There is no more death. You can read about the fulfillment of this prophecy in Revelation. Because it says in Revelation, the former things are passed away. Because God has swallowed up the source of our pain. The source of our suffering is gone. Keep reading. It says this. And the rebuke of his people will he take away from off the earth. At this time, the Jewish people were being slaughtered. They were being run over. They were being run down. They were being mocked. They were looked down upon. So often, people feel that they are oppressed, that they are mocked, that they are looked down upon even today. Sometimes Christians feel as if in our culture that we are kind of being thrown in the waste bin of history. Sometimes we feel as if people look down at us, mock us for our beliefs. Oh, you're one of those crazy people that believes those things. There comes a time when all of that mocking, all of that rebuke, all of that scorn will be swallowed up into victory. Keep reading. It says this, for the Lord has spoken it. In all the services today, and I hope in every church service we ever have at our church, there's one thing I want you to get clear. God is the one who does this, not us. In this passage of Scripture, it says nothing about what we are going to do. It says what God has done, what God will do, and what God will sustain. How can we know that death will be swallowed up in victory? How can we know that these things will come to pass? How can we know as we bury a loved one and as we weep and as we grieve that there's going to come a time when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes? Because God has said it. It is not because we are going to do something, that we are going to become something, and that we are going to usher in some utopia. No. It is because God has declared and God is going to do it. In fact, the reason we're here this morning is to declare that God has already done it. And the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. He says this in verse 9. For it will be said in that day. What day? The day when death is swallowed up in victory. The day when all tears are wiped away. When the rebuke is taken away. And when there is this utopia ushered in by the Lord. In that day, what we will say? This is our God. What does he mean by that? This is what our God does. This is who he is. This is his character. If you were to study the history of the world, the history of the world is God made a beautiful world and we messed it up. That's the history of the world. Very condensed. And you know what God is? The one who fixes it. The one who redeems it. The one who restores it. The one who takes everything that we have broken and everything that we have destroyed and gloriously remakes it. That is God. That is his character. That is his nature. And that is why we gather here this morning, is because there is a hope. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter how broken you may be, no matter how the depths of your depravity may be manifest in your life, no matter what you are caught up in, no matter what you are enslaved to, no matter the addiction, no matter the struggle, there is hope, and that hope is not found in you. That hope is found in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where the hope is found. I talk with people all the time, and they're struggling with addictions, and they're struggling with this sin and that sin, and they're struggling with all of these problems, and they look at me and they say, you know, there's just no hope for me. And I begin to tell them, no, our whole church is filled with people that used to be where you were. That God in his grace has restored, has redeemed, has remade. They have been born again. They have been changed and transformed. And they go, well, what must I do? And I say, no, they didn't do anything. God did it all. God did it all. God is the one who redeemed. God is the one who restored it. That is what our God does. The very name Jesus means Yahweh saves. You're not there. Okay, you're not in that equation. That means Jesus does it. He is the one who restores. He is the one who saves. He is the one who redeems. He is the one who remakes your life. He is the one who delivers. He is the one who sets free. And at that day, nobody's going to be looking and going, wow, he finally made it to heaven. No, no one's going to be paying attention to you. Everyone's going to say, this is what our God does. He takes broken people. He takes sinners. And he redeems them and remakes them. This is what he has done. And this is what he will do. Because this is who he is. Today is not about us and our clothing. Today is not about us and family pictures. Today is not about us and a lot of bacon. Today is about Jesus Christ. Today is about him. And what he has done. About his character. About his nature. About his love. His grace. His power over the grave, and his power to restore and redeem a broken life. Keep reading. We have waited for him. This was written several hundred years before Jesus ever showed up. Okay, most of us think we're patient if we wait, you know, like 30 minutes in line. Imagine waiting several hundred years. Imagine waiting several thousand years. In many respects, we are still waiting today. We are waiting in a different way. They didn't understand what this meant by he will swallow up death and victory, but they knew it was going to happen. And they were going to wait until God did it. We know what is meant by it, and we know that the process has begun, but we are still waiting for the culmination of this, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, we have waited for him. He will save us. Notice the verb tenses go back and forth from past tense to present tense to future tense. Say, this is the Lord. Okay, this is the way God works. His ways are not our ways. His timetable is not our timetable. God works in the way that he works for his glory and the good of his people. Keep reading. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Notice this is written to suffering, hurting people who are burying their loved ones. And he says, we will be glad, we will rejoice, even though right now we're waiting, because this will be brought to pass. For us today, that is the world in which we live. If I could illustrate what is being said here, I would use the idea, if you're in a firefight in Afghanistan, okay, you're there and you're shooting back and forth and you don't know if you're going to make it. And then all of a sudden in the distance, you hear Apache helicopters. What do you know? It's over. It's over. I mean, you just got to sit there and wait. Okay, you don't have to do anything. You just hunker down, pull your helmet down, tighten it down, and sit there. Because it's over. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, It was over. It was done. It was finished. Death was defeated. Hell was defeated. Satan was defeated. Satan was crushed. Sin was defeated. Now we just wait for all of the elect, for all of the people of God to be gathered in. We wait for God in His grace to bring many more people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, for Him to reach down and save many more people. This is why it says in 1 Thessalonians that we grieve, because we have loved ones who believe in Christ that pass away, and we grieve their loss, but we don't grieve as other people. We grieve as a hope. Do we see that? Well, we see that Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead, so we know as we wait that there is coming a day when our loved ones who believe in Christ will be raised. So we wait. Do we see that resurrection now? No? We may not see it in our lifetime. But we know because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead that victory is already done. It's already accomplished. It's over. And yes, we may be waiting, but we can rejoice today in the midst of whatever pain, suffering, or loss, or brokenness you may be experiencing. We can rejoice because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. When we grieve, you know, as I look across here, I've done a funeral, I think, for almost everybody here, for one of your loved ones. There's a few I haven't, but most of you I have. And I know when this time rolls around, I know it's Easter, but it's a family day where we get together with family. And I know you miss your loved one. But I'm here to tell you, because of Jesus Christ, the victory's already won. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. There is victory. So we can rejoice today. Oh, do we see our loved one raised yet? No. But we can rejoice. Why? Because this is what our God has done. This is what He has done in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and defeated death for His people and rose again from the dead. So for those of you who are grieving this morning, death will be swallowed up. It's already begun. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. So yes, we grieve, but we don't grieve as others because we grieve with a hope. But to borrow the illustration of the Apache helicopters, this is not all fun and games, because if you're on the wrong side, the sound of the Apache helicopters is terrifying, because that means it's over for you. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, proving once and for all that He is the Son of God, that He is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords, and that every knee must bow and every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. And you can try to ignore everything He's ever said, but it's over. It's over. And the reason He waits is He waits for all of His people to come to faith in Christ. And today, you should do as it says in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. You need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead. The battle's over. You can read in Revelation 19 about His return. You can read in Revelation 20 about the eternity of hell. But Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and today He offers to you forgiveness full and free, if you will but turn from your sin and come to Jesus Christ. That's what we are celebrating. You say, but oh, you don't know all the things I've done. We're not here to talk about what you've done. We're here to talk about what Jesus has done. You don't understand how messed up and broken I am. You don't understand Jesus rose again from the dead and destroyed all of that. He rose again from the dead to redeem all of that, to restore all of that. And if you will but give Him your life, He will redeem you, He will restore you, He will remake you, He will forgive you. And your death and your sin and your depravity will have been swallowed up in Jesus' death on the cross. And you will receive a new life, raised from the dead, just as the way Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I would love to speak with you and talk with you in person for as long as it takes and show you from Scripture so that you can know that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. So so that you can know the restoration and the remaking that he brings. So you can have the confidence and assurance that your sins are forgiven, that your death has been swallowed up in victory, that your sin debt has been paid in full, and that there is a home in heaven for you when Jesus Christ returns. If you're a believer here today, rejoice. The battle's over. It's over. Yes, we still must wait, because he's our God. That's the way he does it in his timetable. But Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Death is being swallowed up as we speak into victory. One life at a time, one soul at a time, and there is coming a day. I thought about preaching this morning in the graveyard, because there's coming a day when that graveyard is going to be emptied, and the dead in Christ will rise. So until that day, let's begin to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.